audio courtesy of the UH Browns Radio Network. Garbage in every sense of the word. And the worst part about it is that I don't think anybody in the building was surprised. I don't think there was a single soul in the building that was surprised with that performance.
Really?
No, I don't think so. No.
I thought people were starting to get fired up towards the end of the week, no?
I think that they were hopeful. I don't think there was anybody who was surprised. Were you surprised? You were in the building. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe 70,000, except for one, was not surprised.
I was surprised by the defense. The offense did not surprise me in the least.
Okay, fair.
I expected, as I talked about at the end of the week, it wasn't very popular. People accused me of not getting people excited, not being a big enough cheerleader, I guess. But
And you know why? Because they felt, I'm sorry, Anthony. And I'll step away from the mic because I'm about to, you know, I'm going to pull away here for a second because I don't want to just take your space away here. I know you're about to explain something. They wanted you to talk them into it. They didn't, nobody was surprised by yesterday. Defensively, maybe. Nobody was surprised by yesterday. And so they wanted you and me to talk them into it last week because they had a feeling that this was going to go down. They had a feeling this entire time. Well, he's a slow starter. Well, you know, it's a new offense. Well, we got Ken Dorsey involved here. Everybody had a sneaking suspicion, probably including myself, but I can talk myself into just about everything. Everybody wanted you to talk him into it. That's why they were mad at you last week. And me. That's why they were mad at us on Tuesday. They wanted us to talk him into it. That's why. They didn't believe.
I did not understand where the optimism was coming from. Because it wasn't based on anything that had actually gone down in training camp or the preseason. The scrimmages, the whatever, all of that stuff, the joint practice. Like, there was no evidence based on anybody I talked to that was there on a daily basis or some of the people that just came in here and there. Everybody I asked said, well, if they do anything against the Cowboys in the opener, that will be totally different from anything we had seen to this point. From the people that were being honest. I'm not talking about Ken Dorsey, who came on the Thursday press conference and said, you're going to be wowed by this offense. Well, it wasn't from Quincy Avery, who said it was the best Watson had ever thrown the football. It wasn't from Stefanski or Barry. They were all towing company line on that stuff and unbridled optimism. But the people that were actually there and watched it said, if it happens in a Cowboy game, they've kept it a secret because that's not what actually went down. So that part was not a surprise to me at all.
It was, I said I wasn't going to make any excuses, and there's no excuse to make for it. I mean, I think some people are at DEFCON 1 here with this situation and this quarterback. I don't know if he's ever going to get it back. I don't know. I'm worried. I'm very worried in this. I'm worried that there are fewer and fewer people that are willing to make any sort of an excuse and say, well, the offensive line was rough. There were times where he had a clean pocket and he just bailed. He just took off. You want to talk about seeing ghosts, guys? I'm worried. I'm really worried about this. Like I've talked myself into having a chance before, and by the end of the week, guys, I'm going to talk myself into it later on, I'm sure, because that's me, and you know who I am and how I am, and you know it too, Tone. But boy, this is worrisome. This is worrisome. This is nowhere near as bad as I thought he was going to play. I thought that he might struggle a little bit. I thought they might dink and dunk a little bit, and they did try to dink and dunk a little bit. The pass rush was against him. Dexter Lawrence, Micah Parsons, both, I think, had their way. DeJuan Jones did not have a great football game at all. James Hudson III is a swing tackle, and that's about it. The second interception with Elijah Moore, do you put it more on Elijah Moore or do you put it more on Deshaun? For record keeping, I just want to make sure. Because it was a little high for Elijah Moore, but it still went through his hands.
Yeah, I thought he should have at least made contact.
But either way, that's still an excuse. I mean, that's still just said. I know you want me to get mad and fiery and brimstony, and maybe it'll happen over the next 4 hours. I'm just very, very worried. I'm very worried about his performance. I think he has zero confidence in himself. I think he has zero confidence in his offensive line. He's playing without any of it. He is nervous back there. You can tell he's shaky. You can tell he's worried. I think he runs scared the second the ball is snapped to him. This is not good. This is not good whatsoever. And I pray to God it's going to get better, because if it doesn't, this is going to get dark real quick.
Yeah, it was almost, and you hate to say this for a guy who is a veteran in the league, who's been around now a long time and now in his third year with the Browns, but that was a baptism. That looked like a quarterback who was live for the very first time in a long time. That looked like a guy who the speed of the game was way, way too fast for anything he could process. And you're right. No confidence. He didn't have confidence. The Browns didn't have a lot of confidence. How many real shots were there vertically down the field with their new weapon?
Oh, they took two. They took like two in a row. Like there was one that on play action in the third quarter. It was right before I stopped taking notes, where it was just to nobody. It was just a throw down the field to really nobody in particular, it seemed.
But part of the normal game plan, not when everything got disrupted. They had no confidence. They knew. They knew. They were there every day. They didn't have a lot of confidence. I'll give some credit to Dallas. I knew the offensive line, even if we were whole, that's a tough game. That's going to be a tough game against those guys. I mean, you saw why Micah Parsons, why, you know, there were Cowboy fans talking about him as the best defensive player in the league. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he is.
Lines up anywhere. On any given day, you know, he might be the best too, just like Miles looks like the best every time we see him. Miles was great to start out the game, and then, you know, unfortunately, the way the game was dictated, it turned into a Micah Parsons game. We were in obvious throwing downs. They feasted on it. I expected our offensive line to struggle. I got to give Dallas credit too. They tackled well. I mean, they were so much better at all those little details than I think the Browns were yesterday.
Yep. 216-474-0092. So I think that there's what's bothersome about this is that we do this on two fronts the entire year. One, you're trying to go back to the playoffs, which, boy, that after yesterday, I don't even know if you want to say that word. Secondly, you're trying to figure out whether or not this quarterback can be salvaged. And I underline the word salvaged. That's where we're at right now. That's where we're at. It was as disheartening a performance as you could possibly find. He played like a shell of his former self. Like there was a ghost of Deshaun Watson in some other previous time, and the book on him is out there. Because when you said what you said, what Ken Dorsey said last week about there's things that plays that he makes that nobody else makes, that's gone. That feels like that is gone, and I don't know if we're going to get that back, because I think it's a confidence issue. To see him fly, just fly out of that pocket before there's any development whatsoever. And I mean, he's running. I don't want to use the term. I'm going to do it. I think he's seeing ghosts out there. He's running off. Yet on fourth down, Keith had texted us, and I was nervous because I didn't want to see the truth of it. You have Amari Cooper right down the middle. He ain't looking for him because he's running for his life. And he doesn't trust the offensive line. The offensive line doesn't trust him. They haven't been out there on the field together. That's the only thing I think anybody could fight back with me on this. Or the most ardent Deshaun Watson supporter cannot see the truth or the forest for the trees here. This is bad. This is really, 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 really bad. And he's got to get the nose up on this thing as soon as he possibly can, because they ain't going to go anywhere. I can talk about talent all I want, and they got talent. They got good players on this football team. They ain't going to do anything, and they ain't going to go anywhere unless he can get his confidence figured out, because this is ugly. Yesterday was a bleep show from the very beginning.
I
tried to hold it out. I tried, and I had a feeling, and you did too, and I tried to talk myself into it, and it was bad from the very beginning, and it got worse.
But you brought up the thing Dorsey said about the plays he can make that no one else can.
He could do that. He used to be able to do that.
I think the bigger problem is the plays that everybody can. He's not making those. The plays that everybody, even marginal guys in this league, are making, the easy stuff. You know, that was one thing that when Flacco came in last year, and I didn't want to be the first one to mention Joe Flacco. Holy cow, was that something people were casually throwing around yesterday. That was not going to save anything.
No.
But whatever, back to reality. Joe Flacco came in and made the easy reads and made the throws that the offense was designed. And I know they've overhauled that. You saw all shotgun yesterday. Did he line up under center?
I didn't see it.
Basically, it was a totally different look in terms of formation.
Under center, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you saw so many different formations that I hadn't seen before with the Browns, but none of that. None of that distraction was, you know, supposed to gear up the offense. Like when I was thinking about the easy plays, the things that you could get him in rhythm with, he wasn't even able to do that stuff. And that was a problem.
216-474-0092. You ready to go to the phones?
Sure.
All right. Dave in Macedonia, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Good morning, boys.
Hi.
He's quoting Daniel Caffey. Please. Two numbers. You'll figure them out. 42.9, 144.
What is all this?
Watson's quarterback rating. Mayfield's quarterback rating.
Oh, Christ. I can't do this for one more second. No, that's enough. That's enough. The first call out of the box, we're going to do this. The very first call out of the box, we're going to do this. I know what his quarterback rating was. I know that he was good. Guys, I'm not doing it right out of the damn box. Can I have a little bit of time before we do this? Can I have a little bit of time? That he ain't coming home. He ain't coming back. Only to play us. That's it. He had a great day down there. Congratulations on all his success. I can't undo the trade. I can't undo it. You ready to go to another one?
Go ahead.
Marquise in Akron. Marquise, hello.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
I agree completely with you. I came into the game yesterday very optimistic that Deshaun was going to play decent. I knew it was going to be a struggle, but, yeah, he was running pretty much scared from the go, like you said, and it's very, very concerning. I don't know.
He's got I'm hoping. I don't want to pray for such matters. He's got to get going with this thing. We're going I mean, it's not just the talent you have on the team. You're wasting 8 years. You're wasting 8 years of a build. You're wasting 8 years of you know, Marquise, I'm sure you've been a Browns fan your entire life. I mean, 8 years out of someone's life is a long time. And to have the type of faith in the organization that you've had, if this doesn't come to fruition, and I'll even admit, if the guy that used to play here continues to do well, like you can hear it in my voice. You can hear it how mad I was with the call. I mean, I'm as upset and fit to be tied as you could find there.
Yeah, this is mere like when he was just like staring off into space. It seemed like no emotion at all yesterday.
I think he was searching for answers he didn't have. I think it, you know what? I disagree with myself here for a second. Maybe he was surprised by how bad he was yesterday. Maybe he was surprised, Marquise.
That's what it kind of looked like. Like he was like, "Holy crap, I'm really not good."
Like I can't. I hate to laugh at it, but it's true, Marquise. Thank you for the call. Like did it look like he was surprised at all? Like I can't find it. I can't. It's not there.
Yeah,
it's not there.
The body language stuff was atrocious yesterday. It really was, and I can only imagine what Kevin Stefanski was thinking. I did Stefanski just. Was it a hope and a prayer yesterday before that game?
Yeah.
Like a half hour before kickoff, did Kevin Stefanski really think, based on all the stuff he didn't see in training camp, did he really think that they were going to get an outstanding performance out of Deshaun Watson?
No, I don't think he did. Based on that, he sees more than we do. Based on what you saw, could he have thought that was going to go down that way, or that was going to go better? It may be a little bit better than what it was, considering they did try. I mean, you saw some of the routes. I said this in the morning, and it seemed nobody wanted to agree with me. I go, you know, you got a good pass rush there. You got DeJuan Jones coming back from injury. You got James Hudson III over there at left tackle. You know, maybe you shorten things up and you try to find David a little bit more. And sure as hell, that's what they did. Nobody, big fly. We're going to go big fly. Again, are we talking ourselves into it, or was it the truth? Because they try to take care of him, but then they realize he's nervous. He couldn't take care of himself. He couldn't do it. And I want to sit there desperately and say, well, it's just one game. Guys, it's been 3 years. It's been fits and starts for 3 years. Any chance that there's been a little bit of a glimmer of hope, something bad has happened, and this is as bad as it's been, and it's got to get better, and it's got to get better as soon as possible, or we're going to a real bad place, Tone. I can hear it in your voice, and they can certainly hear it in mine, man. This is as bad as it gets.
Being in that stadium, man, you asked if before the show if I had given up on Deshaun Watson. That stadium felt like it had given up on Deshaun Watson.
4:53 is when I first heard it. Left to go in the first half. 4:53 is when I first heard the boos. Andrew noticed it. Nathan noticed it. It's a bad feeling.
How could you not?
216-474-0092. Oh, I mean, deaf people could have heard it. I mean, it was, you could feel it. The pensiveness, the air that was going on right there. 216-474-0092. All right, whose fault was it? Whose fault was it? Did they put him in a bad position? Did he put them in a bad position? This thing's got to get better as soon as possible. This was yesterday during the game.
It's a new take.
It was yesterday during the game.
Yesterday during the game.
All right.
We'll have more later.
That's the coming in hotline. You go to your free Odyssey app and you download it. It's free. And then you favorite the fan. And then right next to Listen Live is a microphone button. You can't miss it. It's right to its right. And then you click on that. And I mean, if you can't follow the prompts, then you're every bit as lost as the Browns offense yesterday. You are every bit as lost as them if you can't follow the prompts. I kind of don't even want you to follow the prompts after that one. All right, here's Kevin Stefanski yesterday on if he was shocked at the performance.
I would tell you this, football, that's a good football team. We didn't play well enough to win. You can't do all those things that we just talked about and expect to win. We'll learn from it, and we'll be ready to go next week.
Well, Kevin, they asked if you were shocked. That none of that was an answer, bud. None of that was an answer. They asked if you were shocked. So clearly he wasn't shocked. Right?
I imagine what transpired on special teams, giving up a punt return for a touchdown.
That's pretty surprising.
That was not pretty.
That was a surprising thing. Here's Deshaun Watson yesterday. I said no excuses. Survey says from Deshaun.
We're not the type of people to make excuses. So, you know, some people can say that contribute a lot. You know, my injury, guys missing time. But at the end of the day, once you're on the field, you just got to, you know, you got to perform. You got to execute. You know, we didn't do that overall. And yeah, it showed.
Okay, here's on whether or not his confidence is swayed.
Hell no. I'm always be Deshaun Watson, regardless of whoever else say otherwise. You know, you're going to have days like this. We all have days like this when you're playing this type of game. And that's just part of what comes with it. It comes with the territory. And especially in my position, you know, much is given, much is required. So you gotta add a little bit more to whatever it is. We didn't have enough this week, and we gotta make sure we have enough next week to get back on the right page.
Boy, it sure looked like his confidence was swayed though, out there on the field.
Yeah. Well, I
really looked like it.
I hate to be a body language expert. That seems like kind of a ridiculous position to have after a game like that. Nobody's body language is going to look great. But from the quarterback, there is an understanding that the quarterback is a position of leadership. And since he's taken over the helm, I've never seen that guy truly look like the guy in Houston. The guy in Houston looked like the second coming. Yeah. He looked like somebody that could redefine the position. Yes, yeah. He had all the swagger in the world. I don't know what it is about once he came to Cleveland, whether or not all that off-the-field stuff is in his head, whether or not the layoff was in his head. And, you know, now I know he's played three straight years here in Cleveland, but again, he's coming off another layoff. Training camp was just not a way for him to get ready to play the season. Mm-hmm. And so it's condensed now. We keep hearing long season, long season, long season. But you feel like you lose to Jacksonville. By the way, they're 3-point dogs to Jacksonville. I think I saw.
Jacksonville had a hot start yesterday. Then the Dolphins ran around them, but go ahead.
You know, you start out 0-2. The long season stuff, man, people are not going to want to hear that.
216-474-0092. Q in Cleveland. Hello.
Yeah, how you guys doing, man?
I've been better. I have been better.
Listen, guys, listen. Okay, see, this is. I'm about to hit you guys from another perspective. Okay.
Right.
So I have the NFL package. I watch all 22. Right. So I'm able to watch every player, not just what the TV shows you. Okay. So let's start off with the offense. And Kevin Stefanski, let's start with that, right? You know, they had about three guys on one side of the ball trying to protect Deshaun Watson. Micah Parsons was moving all over the place. He had his way with everybody. I've seen him bull rush Batonio. I've seen him come off the edge, take on three guys, and still get to Deshaun Watson.
When did you see this?
On different individual plays.
Saw this on all 22?
Yeah, I've seen
the all 22 is not out yet. Yes. The all 22 is not out yet.
Listen to what I'm telling you.
I'm listening to what you're saying, but you said you saw it on All 22. Okay, the All 22 is not out yet.
Why isn't it?
Because I'm watching it right now. I'm watching the NFL Plus right now. If All 22 was out, we'd all have it right now. It doesn't usually come out till Tuesdays.
Okay. I'll put it this way.
Okay.
Okay. Wait a minute. Now,
I'm not going anywhere. Please find another way to make an excuse.
Okay, because that one
didn't work.
How about the All 33? When does that come out? Thursday?
Okay, listen. I'll put it this way. We wanna blame Deshaun Watson when we're not running any underneath stuff. We're not running any underneath stuff. We got guys chipping. The offensive line was terrible yesterday.
Yeah, they were.
It was terrible. We have to really recognize, and that we have no running game. Say what you want to say about Kareem Hunt. At least they respected the run. They didn't respect the run yesterday. They knew we couldn't run, so they pinned their ears back and came at Deshaun Watson full force.
Well, yeah, it became a pass-a-thon, as Tom Brady had said it.
Exactly, and I was surprised Kevin Stefanski didn't get up on the podium and say what he usually says, which is they got out ahead of us. You know, we couldn't rely on the run anymore. We had to go to the pass because we were down.
He probably did. Q, thank you for the call. He probably did say that. I mean, hell, we only played one clip. It was a decently long enough press conference there. I'm sure he might have said something there. Do we have that in there? Do we have those exact words in there? Can we find the transcript? I'm joking. Don't go do that, Mitch, all right? 216-474-0092. Dave in Ashtabula. Hello, Dave.
I was watching the All 44 this morning, and Deshaun Watson, he is not the same guy that we signed all this money for. I think it's time to eat up the contract. If he doesn't at least go, like, till the end of September, now looking like the Deshaun that we signed for, it's time to eat it up because it's just not going to work. We have too much.
Well, I gotta give him the whole season. If worst comes to worst, I guess you could try to put Jameis Winston out there, but that means he's a broken man. But I gotta give him further than the month, though. Dave, go ahead.
Jameis Winston will take shots. It's not all this dink-dank stuff that he's doing. He's not seeing ghosts. At least it will be fun. It will be fun. I don't want to look at
will
my team like Bud Dwyer.
Will it be fun? No, Dave, Jesus. All right. I mean, I don't think it will be fun. I don't think it will. You got to give him to at least, but you got to give him to further than the end of the month, for crying out loud. Sam in Cleveland. Sam, hello.
Oh, man, fellas. Hi. Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing okay, Sam. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what? I was waiting all this time just to not talk about offense.
Well, you're going to talk about it now, aren't you?
No. I don't want to talk about the offense. It wasn't because, all right, I was there. I was at the game. And believe me, I was in the nosebleeds seats. Mm-hmm. I was way up in the air. So
you have a good vantage point, though.
Oh, yeah. I was able to feel the wind and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, the wind was a major factor. I mean, dude kicked a 66-footer, did he? It was something like that. It didn't count.
There was a 66-yarder.
66 yards? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then they let time expire, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but he didn't make it, but it was just a factor. So, basically, I want to talk about the defense. Now, what I noticed what Dallas was doing was the same freaking plays. They was running a slant.
They ran, and that jet sweep with CeeDee Lamb, I think they ran it four times.
Oh, I don't know, but it was the same freaking thing. And we stacked in the 4-3 every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. Now, don't get me wrong. 4-3 is effective. But if you see them doing the same freaking play every time, why don't you adjust? You don't got to wait to halftime to adjust. Do it now. They ran it over 6-7 times in one quarter. And I'm looking at this, and I'm like 4 yards, 5 yards, 8 yards every time. And I didn't understand.
Well,
I think
my understanding to it, Sam, and that's a good point, and thank you very much for the call. It's like, why am I going to you get to a point as a football coach where you don't want to put anything more on tape. You don't want to put anything more. If you can save it, you're going to save it. Like the best example I can give recently, like I brought up Pittsburgh and Cleveland when they played in back-to-back games in 2021 to go to the playoffs and then the playoff game. But there's also like Matt Rhule on Saturday night. Matt Rhule reached the point where he's like, we don't need to do any more. We have him exactly where we need to have him. I'm not going to put anything on tape unless I absolutely have to. If they go out and they start making some plays and get a little bit closer, then we'll talk. I'm not going to do anything more that I have to put on tape. McCarthy thought the same thing. I'll run the same four plays, same five, six plays, and get out of this where I don't have to show anything because we're beating the brakes off them.
Well, remember,
that's
that,
where they reached that point.
That jet play, we wondered last year when the Rams were able to go to that, and then obviously what they pulled off in the Texans playoff game, whether or not we were going to see a steady diet of that. Well, it's on film. They did it again yesterday, and it worked bunch of times.
Is there anything you like this weekend? We will find out coming up next.
Yeah, Jalen Darden.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like. Like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
You know, the bad thing about going to these games.
I'm a no like.
Like I did yesterday, and having to, you know, tough it out in a luxury suite. The hard part about it is you'd miss the whole day of football. You really do. I had to be down there early for another function, and you just feel lost. You feel totally lost. You're inundated. I couldn't even really get a chance to like dwell on social media. I was trying to pay attention to the games.
I did want to say poor Lima had to be down there in the suites. But you didn't miss a lot of good stuff.
You just miss so much stuff. It's great to hobnob. It's great to hang out with Browns legends like Eric Metcalf the way that, you know, I'm fortunate enough to get a chance to do. But other than that,
any other
been nice Browns to have a lower suite, you know.
Poor, pitiful tone.
The upper suite, somebody should have told me it was an upper suite. I could have brought the binoculars out. But either way, I will start out by saying I must have missed
That's old Lima talking right there.
I must have missed a great time.
Lima likes.
In the Muni lot. Apparently that was the place to be. Do you think that Donovan Mitchell and Myles Garrett were corresponding? They happened to be there at the exact same time in the exact same location. But imagine if you're in the Muni lot yesterday.
Well, Myles Garrett is his boss.
Yeah.
So he could have told him to come by.
Right.
The business.
That was a very, very good point. Had to be a really cool thing to see those guys in the Muni lot yesterday. I know it was used against Myles Garrett. Oh, you look pretty gassed. You look pretty gassed out there. Did you have to be at the Muni lot? I don't think that had anything to do with it. But
he had a strip sack.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he came out on fire. But, you know, in the end, like I said, the game dictated. Like, for Dallas, I mean, we were in obvious passing situations the entire game. When you don't get anything on first down, it seemed like every time, Kenny, the first down play was netting zero or a five-yard penalty. You know, we committed 11 penalties. They had 11 penalties. That game took forever. For a game that was not in doubt, that game took way too long.
Really wish that game started at 1 o'clock. Really wish that game didn't start at all, to be honest with you, but here we are.
I mean, I didn't get home till 8:15. And I left right, and I was trying to get out of there.
As soon as the game was over, I flipped over to NBC for Sunday Night Football. They're already on the field.
Yes.
They're already going.
And that's just such an odd sequence. So, unfortunately, I missed a ton. I do have to say, for the Browns,
Lima likes.
The future is here, Kenny. Facial recognition. I signed up for whatever program. Now, this was not the Clear, which I thought they had.
The Cream?
It wasn't the Cream either. Okay. They had something where I took a selfie this week once I got my ticket on my phone. Next thing I know, I'm walking right
Express
to the stadium.
Express Access?
The Express Access. Yep. Yeah.
Skynet.
It was incredible. I don't know how safe it is. I guess that's what they're billing it as. And it really didn't save me any time because the line next to me was not facial recognition. They got in just as fast as I did. But it was cool. You didn't need anything. I don't even think I needed my phone. I think I just walk in with just my eyeballs. But see, the problem is,
I like it.
The problem is if anybody gets the best of me, and like in the movies, like in the horror movies. Yeah, where they chop your fingers off to use your finger, you know, like in a Bond movie.
I mean, Hannibal Lecter might come get you.
Get in a Browns game situation.
But I was wondering if nobody knew that it was there or that they should use it. And then nobody kind of paid attention to my lane as I walked right in. So it was just, all right, get my eyeballs up there. I'm good. Okay. And then I walked in like I'd gotten away with something. Like,
what if
that's
you blink at the wrong time?
Then you can't get in.
Just be great if Hannibal Lecter cut your face off and he's like, I got to go to a Browns game. And he got there and he's like, oh my God, this is horrific. I got to stop eating people. This is bad. Or maybe I got to eat more people to feel better. I don't know.
And really, was it a loss or a win if that happened?
If he cut your face cut off so the Browns could go lose?
But if Hannibal Lecter decides he's not eating people anymore,
then you sacrificed your face for the right thing. I don't know.
Imagine if he had a nice outfit on and now he's got blood and guts and stuff all over you.
This is what we're doing to avoid talking about this game.
Well, we are. You know what? I'll do this then.
Live of likes.
Hey, Michigan lost. That was fun.
Live of likes.
Notre Dame lost. That was fun.
Wow.
Holy cow, was that incredible. Wow.
I saw the end of that, and the neighbors were over, and Liz and her friend were sitting on the couch, and I'm like, I cannot believe they're going to win this game. I cannot believe. Like, he lined up for that 62-yarder. I'm like, I'd rather just throw a Hail Mary or try like one more in 4 seconds and see if you can get a little bit closer. And they won the game, and they're like, "Is Northern Illinois good?" Like, they did that thing, and I'm going, guys, this is like a historical upset. This is like a movie.
Well,
like,
and
it's like Axel's team beating.
I
was sitting there like such a college football degenerate fan, thinking to myself, how are the refs going to hand this game to Notre Dame? And they almost did. There was a stoppage, and they even brought it up on the broadcast that there should have been another 20-some seconds run off at, like, the 50-second mark. So it's like they were giving them opportunities, and then to see them fall like that was just a thing of beauty.
I like Thomas Hammock's reaction.
It's incredible.
Like, a lot of guys just stand there stoic. Like, he was trying to keep his wits about him, but he knew the enormity of the situation. Yeah. And he's an alum of Northern Illinois, so that was really cool.
And then the other
Marcus Freeman, by the way, might have got himself fired.
Fired?
Oh, yeah. Not now. Like, they're not going to be a playoff team. Everybody's like, well, they can still go 11-1. I go, no, they're not. They got Louisville on that schedule. No.
I think they are a playoff team. I think with the expanded playoffs.
They're going to go 11-1 and make the playoffs?
And the very special circumstances that Notre Dame has that nobody else has.
I disagree.
I think they would have to lose like 3 games for them to miss.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
I think they're in. I think that opening win. People thought I was joking at the time when I'm like, I think they clinched the playoff berth. That's the thing about 12. We've not lived in this world.
I think you're too
of the
cynical.
12-team playoff.
I think you are too cynical. They still have Louisville at home. Mm. I don't know what Florida State's going to be. Oh my God, USC is going to beat the brakes off them. As of this moment, yes. The rest of the schedule's kind of whatever.
I made a comparison for Joe Burrow about a month ago, and it's looking better and better. Dan Marino. What did Dan Marino do when he came into the league? He set all these passing records very early on. Very early Super Bowl. Never got back. Could that be the case, Joe Burrow? What was that yesterday?
It was bad.
As we were getting ready for that Browns game, they kept showing them, and I'm like, they don't have any points? What's going on here? Where are the points? Where are the points? Where are the points? He threw for 150 yards.
There was a horrible sequence. 5 minutes left in the first half. Gesicki scores a touchdown, but then they review. They wipe it out. And then he throws to Tanner Hudson, who's going in and just fumbles on the one-yard line.
Yep.
And then instead of it being 7-7, it was 10-0 at that.
I know, Browns fans, we can't sit here and laugh at the Ravens, laugh at the Bengals, not when you play like that, but that is bizarre. Bizarre start to the season. How did I, in my college football cluster, miss?
Lima likes.
Iowa State, Kenny.
I thought you were going to forget.
Iowa State. Well, I saw the Brock Purdy video of him watching.
Yes.
And it was awesome.
So that's another thing.
See that emotion.
I started watching the game, and they're listening out there, and they have a bye week, so they're definitely listening now. I was watching the game. I was hanging more pictures up in my office. I immediately became disgusted. I was like, I can't emotionally do this. Turned it on in the Notre Dame game, and I was following along, kept trying to tune back in, and every time I tuned in, like, Rocco Beck threw that near pick six, like, from his own end zone. They had it first and goal at the one twice, Iowa did, and didn't punch it in. And I'm, like, sitting out there, I'm smoking a cigar, and I'm, like, kind of following along, and then it got to, like, 19-17. I go, don't you play with my emotions and do this. Don't you dare do it. The kid
hits a 54-yarder. And
then I'm with my neighbors, because this time Liz's like, you got to come up and be sociable now. So I'm, like, with my neighbors, like, right after the Notre Dame game happened, I'm going, they're going to find a way to mess this up. This is going to get messed up. These games are stupid.
And he made it.
And he made the kick. Yeah. And then I thought for sure the Hail Mary was going to go in the end zone. And then it did. I go, I can't believe they came back and won this game.
The game is always a crazy game. We got to go.
Lima likes.
Congratulations. Sarah Lima is heading to Boston, qualifying for the Boston Marathon after finishing second in her age group at Presque Isle at the Erie Marathon.
What was it?
You know what? I'm actually not sure.
I think it was like 3:13.
Yeah, 3:13.
That's why I know, because I looked it up, because I saw the time post, and I go, what's a good woman's time, though? No. And it said, a good woman's time is 4 hours. And she ran 3:13.
Wow. Yeah, and she did not have a good training session. I thought it was going to be very much like the Browns. They didn't have a great training camp. She had to end some of her runs abruptly. A lot of stuff going
on.
Did
you send her to the Greenbrier for 2 weeks?
That would be good. So I'm, all right, I got to put in for vacation because come President's Day.
Going to Boston?
I'm going to be in Boston for Patriots Day, Kenny. Patriots Day. We're going. I'm going to go on a one-man bar crawl like you will not believe.
That's going to be awesome.
Be amazing. That's it for Lima Likes.
Outstanding. 216-474-0092. That's really good, Lima Likes.